Testivity Audio Course, Series 66, Module 8, Open-End Mutual Funds, Part 2.
Once an investor has determined which type of fund is most suitable, he or she must decide where to purchase the fund. To assist in this decision, an investor may turn to a mutual fund rating service. Much like services which rate individual securities, mutual fund rating services, Morningstar and Bloomberg, to name a few, provide research to help the investor make informed decisions. Mutual fund rating systems employ a star system. 5 stars, the best. 4 stars, good. 3 stars, okay. 2 stars, not so good. 1 star, bad. Rating services are private corporations and are not regulated by FINRA or the SEC. Among others, the following factors should be considered when evaluating investment companies prior to purchase: investment style, valuation, capitalization, investment policies, management experience, rating, fees and expenses, performance, total return, expense ratio, and after-tax return. Diversified versus non-diversified. A mutual fund is a diversified fund if at least 75% of its assets are invested, the fund does not own more than 10% of the common stock of any corporation, and the fund has not invested more than 5% of its assets in any one corporation. If the fund does not meet all three of these criteria, it is a non-diversified fund. The net asset value, or NAV, of a mutual fund is calculated in the aggregate and on a per-share basis. The net asset value per share is the price an investor will receive when shares are redeemed. FINRA regulations require a mutual fund to calculate its net asset value at least once per day. Most funds do so at the close of business. The aggregate net asset value is established by adding the closing market price of all securities in the fund's portfolio to any other assets the fund owns and subtracting any fund liabilities. The aggregate net asset value is then divided by the number of outstanding shares to determine the NAV per share. Open-end mutual fund prices are determined by a mathematical calculation and therefore cannot be affected by market sentiment like securities trading in the secondary market. When shares of an open-end mutual fund are purchased or redeemed, the order is filled at the next available price. This is called forward pricing. An investor who placed an order during market hours today would receive today's closing price. If an order were placed after the market closed, the order would be filled at tomorrow's closing price. The maximum allowable sales charge, or load, is 8.5% of public offering price. If a mutual fund charges 8.5%, it must offer the following 3 privileges to investors. 1. Breakpoint sales charge reductions that reduce the percentage sales charge based on the dollar amount invested. 2. Rights of accumulation that will reduce the percentage sales charge on subsequent investments based on the value of the investor's account. And 3. Automatic reinvestment of dividends and capital gains at net asset value. If a mutual fund does not offer all 3 of these benefits to investors, the maximum allowable sales charge drops to 6.25%. The load is added to the net asset value to determine the public offering price. The public offering price is what the investor pays per share to purchase a mutual fund. The net asset value is what the investor receives per share when shares are redeemed. The load is charged by the underwriter, who keeps a portion for his or her services and compensates the sales force with the remainder. Share classes. Typically, open-end mutual funds are sold in one of three share classes: A, B, or C. Class A shares charge a front-end load. Generally, Class A shares are suitable for long-term investments in excess of $50,000. Class A shares offer the ability to qualify for a reduced sales charge or quantity discount called a breakpoint. Breakpoints are available to any person, including married couples, parents and their minor children, corporations, and other entities. However, investment clubs are not eligible for breakpoint discounts. The breakpoint schedule will be included in the fund's prospectus and may vary by fund. While nothing has been standardized, a typical breakpoint schedule might say an investment from $0 to $50,000 will be charged a 5.5% load. $50,000 to $100,000, 5%. $100,000 to $250,000, 4.5%. $250,000 to $500,000, 4%. $500,000 to $1 million, 3%. And any investment over $1 million will be charged a 2% load. An investor who plans to invest more money in the future can qualify for a breakpoint initially by signing a letter of intent, or LOI, which commits the investor to deposit necessary funds to qualify for the breakpoint within 13 months. The letter of intent can be backdated up to 90 days from the day of the initial purchase, but may not cover a period greater than 13 months. For example, an investor who signs a letter of intent 60 days after the initial purchase has 11 months to satisfy the commitment. If an investor fails to satisfy the letter of intent, the fund will retroactively adjust the sales charge to reflect the amount of the actual investment. Also, appreciation of the investment does not count towards fulfilling the letter of intent. To protect themselves in the event that an investor does not satisfy a letter of intent, most mutual funds will hold a portion of the investor's shares in escrow. A mutual fund may offer rights of accumulation, which, like a letter of intent, will allow an investor to qualify for a reduced sales charge. Rights of accumulation do not apply to the initial investment, but to subsequent purchases. When the total value of purchased shares reaches or exceeds a breakpoint, the investor qualifies for the reduced sales charge. Rights of accumulation do not impose time limits for reaching the thresholds. Another commonly offered benefit is the combination privilege, which allows an investor to qualify for a breakpoint by combining the value of separate investments in two or more mutual funds of the same fund family. When recommending to a client the purchase of mutual funds from multiple fund families, it is important to be aware of potential reductions in the sales charge by investing at the same fund family. Class B shares charge a contingent deferred sales charge, or back-end load. No sales charge is paid initially, but could result if the shares are sold within a specified period. The internal expenses passed on to the investor are higher with Class B shares than Class A shares. Therefore, buying Class B shares may be more expensive over time. The load gradually decreases over the first several years. Eventually, the shares convert to Class A shares and start realizing lower operating expenses. Class B shares should only be recommended to an investor who does not qualify for a breakpoint and has a long-term time horizon. Class C shares are often called level load. A Class C share has no front-end load or back-end load, but has higher internal operating expenses than both Class A and Class B shares, approximately 1% per year higher. Also, Class C shares will never convert to Class A shares. Class C shares are only appropriate for an investor with a short or uncertain time horizon. Generally, mutual funds hire an underwriter to distribute fund shares and charge a load. It is possible, however, for a mutual fund to distribute its own shares under SEC Rule 12b1. A fund is allowed to charge a reasonable quarterly fee, known as a 12b1 fee, to cover costs associated with the distribution of shares. The 12b1 fee must be approved initially by the shareholders and reapproved annually and plainly disclosed in the fund's prospectus. A fund with no sales charge and a 12b1 fee of no more than 1/4 of 1% of the aggregate net asset value of the fund can call itself a no-load fund. Referring to a fund with a load or a 12b1 fee in excess of 1/4 of 1% as a no-load fund is a violation of FINRA regulations. A mutual fund generally qualifies as a regulated investment company under Subchapter M of Internal Revenue Code and is considered a conduit or pipeline for passing income on to shareholders. The mutual fund can benefit from Subchapter M by avoiding taxation. If a fund derives 90% or more of its income from dividends, interest, and capital gains, and then passes at least 90% of its income on to shareholders annually, the fund pays no income tax.